Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, just $4.99 per pound. Signature Farms Boneless Skinless Chicken Breasts, Thighs or Wings, buy one get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Progresso Soup, 18 to 19 ounce selected varieties, buy two get four free when you buy six. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
It's a blessing to be recognized by your peers and coaches and the fans as well. I really appreciate all the fans around the country voting for me, especially Commanders fans, and not just for myself, but for my teammates. You know, they really showed out and showed up for us, not just like in person at the games, but obviously in the voting and things like that. So we definitely really appreciate that support. And they tried to say like the fan base was dead or something like that, but it's alive and well. So it's cool to be a part of this organization where you're winning a lot of games and everybody's having success from that.
Terry McLaurin's got a Pro Bowl game in his future. It's time for you to think about your future. The sponsor of our show is the law firm Kandori & Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. You heard Terry giving love to the fan base, saying his fan base is alive and well. They got us all into the Pro Bowl almost. I mean, a bunch of alternates. But
it's a good point. I mean, Jaden Daniels is Rookie of the Week every week.
Yeah.
That's voting, right?
They definitely get out the vote around here. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have done a good job supporting your Commanders, as you should. But kudos, first and foremost, to the fan base. And if you want to vote, you can go vote at facebook.com/Grant and Danny. One final time this week, Jaden Daniels or Frankie Louvu, who's moving on to the final round in Commander Survivor to take on Terry McLaurin in week 18. I think we know how this is going to go, but you guys will have to determine that. This is a democracy.
Right.
And it's not a dictatorship.
Mm-hmm.
I am not the law. You are the law.
This is the opposite of Denzel's speech in Remember the Titans. It's like, forget about the Titans. What you're doing right there.
Notre Dame just took the opening kickoff of the second half back.
Oh, dude.
Great touchdown.
Look at Rhino.
It's 20-3, Notre Dame. And Georgia fans are beside themselves.
Well, that includes you, longtime Georgia Bulldog.
I'm pulling for Notre Dame. I told you that last week.
Oh, you did tell me that, yeah.
Yeah. I want to see a team that everyone says doesn't belong. That I'm rooting for the underdog.
I do like chaos. When it comes, because again, I have no rooting interest in the old college foosballs.
Everybody makes fun of Notre Dame, says they lose all these games all the time. They shouldn't, not involved in, shouldn't be in the playoffs. They're going to get embarrassed by Georgia. I want to see them win the game. I didn't think they'd be up 20-3 right now.
I was going to say they're on their way.
But look, I mean, it's still a lot of work to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Penn State's more beatable than Georgia, though. So if they're able to get by Georgia, then you beat Penn State. Next thing you know, you're on to the national championship game. But I do feel like if Ohio State plays at the level they have in their last two games.
Congrats to the Buckeyes.
You're all trying to be runners-up at this point. I mean, there's just nothing like them at the peak of their powers these last couple of weeks. But the playoffs will win. They got some things they got to iron out. I think they got to reseed. I think they should not seed with like the spots given away based on conference berth. Like it should just be the top 12 teams as the committee sees it, 1 through 12. Seed it that way. If you want to expand it, that's fine too. But I think this is the teeth in the starting.
It's a great start.
Yeah, this is the beginning of something that could be outstanding.
So what I don't know how to properly cut to say this. See if you can do it better than I'm about to, okay? The kvetching, bitching, moaning about who didn't get in or what seed they got for the NCAA basketball tournament lasts around 24 hours, sometimes 48 if you're really into it and you can find someone who wrote a column. Then the games start. And we're off. And that's all we talk about. I feel like for days after, like, Indiana, blah, 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 and the whining and the irritation for the people that, like, love and cover college football, I found so off-putting. You know what I mean? It was, like, still whining and irritating or irritated about who got in and what number they got and what seed and what path and whatever. Like, when the thing comes out, let's all react to it because it's new, it's fresh. Wow, Penn State, even though they got to play in the first round, has an easier path than a lot of teams that are seeded higher than them. Let's look at that. That's normal. That's interesting. But then we move to this next phase, and it's like those guys haven't moved on. I need to get rid of that. That's not an official NCAA thing. Right. That's a coverage thing for me.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think this is a really, really flawed way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a start. It's better than what they did when they didn't have this.
Yeah.
They're going to find out what works and what doesn't, and then they'll be able to go from there. All right, let's go around the NFL. What are we looking forward to in Week 18? What do you want to happen in this final weekend of the season? It goes without saying, a Commanders win would sure be nice. They play the Dallas Cowboys, get even with Dallas on the season, a little payback from a home loss to the boys, go to their place in Jerry World and deliver the goods. On top of that, you would secure the 6th seed. You would play at the 3 seed, which is either the Rams or the Bucks. I'd rather them play Tampa Bay. I know you said you'd rather them play LA.
Yeah, narrowly. It's not as if I'm excited about any matchup because they all present problems. They're playoff teams, quite frankly. And, you know, the Rams have won 5 straight. They might lose this weekend because they're sitting everybody. Tampa's won 5 of 6. So I don't know where you're supposed to go in terms of, oh, I feel great about that matchup. But yeah, I mean, it would be easy if everybody's kind of if everybody's kind of limping in. You know, if Chicago goes to Green Bay and wins, if Tampa Bay loses their matchup to a New Orleans team that's floundering at best, if, you know, Atlanta loses too, and it sort of all feels by default, it'd make you feel a little bit better, maybe.
The huge game of the weekend is going to be Sunday Night Football. It's actually the final game of the season. They call it Game 272. This is Detroit and Minnesota. This is the Lions and the Vikings playing for the number one seed in the NFC and a division title in the North. The loser, because of how seeding works, slides all the way down to 5th and will play on the road as a 14-3 team, which is brutal. What do you want to happen in this game?
I want Detroit to win. And as much of I'm the skeptic, I'm the annoying guy that still doesn't believe Dan Campbell or
this shocks me that you want the Lions.
That Jared Goff is, you know, the human praying mantis. Because they've been so excellent all year long, not as Minnesota's been bad by any stretch, they're 14-win team as well, but Detroit's high has been higher than everyone else's. Their ceiling, when they were beating people by 35, 40 a week, they deserve to be the number one seed to me, overcoming all the injuries and everything else. And I still would like to be right about the fact that you can't trust Sam Darnold. It's getting hard to say that, by the way. Like, I still don't trust him.
But this is you can't trust Jared Goff or Sam Darnold.
I know. So
how do you win in both directions?
You don't. There's no winning here. But to me, Detroit's been so – they're so – not as if Minnesota isn't deserving, but Detroit is so deserving that I'd love for them to finish this out and give those fans something pretty special.
I have a hard time with this game. I would both outcomes are really, really fun.
I won't be upset either way.
Justin Jefferson's my favorite player in the league outside of D.C., I love Kevin O'Connell. Knew him when he was here as the offensive coordinator and have always liked him as a guy. Kept in a little bit of touch with him over the last few years before this one. I don't know. I think I'm rooting for the Lions. I think the way they've handled injuries, it's just kind of their time to be the great team in the division. I know that Minnesota in some ways is like the underdog that wasn't supposed to be here and everybody knew Detroit was going to be here. But for them to have handled the Super Bowl loss the way, the NFC Championship game loss, rather, the way that they did after not getting to the Super Bowl last year, to bounce back the way they have, I just think the whole organization from the ground up, the way they built this thing brick by brick with Dan Campbell, man, we're out here trying to do our best, brother. I swear to you, if there was another way to do it, I would, man. This is the only way I know. It's the only way. Give me the Lions. I think I'm going to root for them in this game 272. How about in the NFC South? Bucks or Falcons? Do you care? Tampa Bay plays New Orleans. Atlanta plays Carolina. If Tampa wins, they're in. If they lose and Atlanta wins, the Falcons get in the NFC South.
After Atlanta just put the fear of God in everybody around here, it's be funny to say, but again, I'm less scared of them than I am of Tampa.
No doubt.
Right? So, you know, let's go Atlanta, I suppose. Like, Michael Penix show, yay. Maybe call a timeout, Raheem Morris. At some point, you could use him.
We never talked about this because you haven't been on since.
Mm-hmm.
The Raheem Morris clock management in that game was an abomination.
Yep.
Like, I don't do the thing where I'm, like, calling for jobs or whatever. Like, in that spot when the playoffs are kind of on the line and you've been a coach in the league for several years before this as a head coach, that is not okay. The first half was bad. The second half was worse.
Was even worse.
Like, worse.
Yeah. I mean, the for someone to be so clearly sophisticated in all things football and be a savant in terms of coverages, alignment, and matchups, and they were exploiting all sorts of advantages over Washington.
He's coached on offense and defense.
He's clearly so knowledgeable. And obviously a leader of men, just someone that you want to follow, has charisma at the yang. I have never understood how anybody allows for that to go on for even a microsecond. Like, to me, it shouldn't be considered a skill. It shouldn't be considered someone's on the good side or bad side. There is a minimum threshold that was so far below it, I don't know what I would do. I don't know that I would fire the person because they're clearly, I just hired them and I know them for years and he's really good at everything else. But, like, you lost your privilege to me. We now have somebody that overrules you when it's timeout time and you don't get to decide. You lost your deciding privileges. And if you don't like it, you can walk away.
It was just so bad. It was so obvious. It's like, dude, there's 35 seconds left. You have three timeouts. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
There's times where it's like strategy before the 2 minute, after the 2 minute. Is this when you burn it or not? Or just a bad sequence where you got to get, you know, can one because you're going to get a delay a game. Like, that was the most obvious. Of course you have to use a timeout. And they just tick, 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 tick. I didn't know what they were doing. Here's my number one want outside of anything that involves the Commanders this weekend. I think you're going to agree with me on this. I want Joe Burrow in the playoffs. I want Cincinnati to get in. I see Chiefs fans celebrating their demise. Chiefs fans don't like admitting this. They don't want the Bengals in the playoffs. In places deep down, they don't talk about it at parties.
Uh-huh.
They don't want Cincinnati getting in. Cincinnati 3-3 in the last six against Kansas City. Now they've lost, I think, two in a row in the last couple of years, whatever. Joe Burrow is not scared. The Bengals are not scared of the Kansas City Chiefs, who they lost to by 1 point earlier this year on a PI call. That was the right call, by the way. But a close ticky-tack kind of PI call that I think should have been called. But the Bengals need to win. They play Pittsburgh on Saturday night, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Then they need losses by the Broncos and the Dolphins to clinch playoff spots. The Broncos play the Chiefs. Mahomes and starters are sitting. So the Chiefs are going to do everything they can to make sure the Bengals don't get in because they're going to sit everybody and try to give Denver a football game. But if somehow they still beat Denver led by Carson Wentz and the Jets beat the Dolphins, the Bengals, if they win Saturday night, would get into the playoffs. Joe Burrow, by the way, leads the NFL in pretty much all passing categories.
What an unbelievable season.
46-40 passing yards, 42 touchdowns, 3 tutties in 8 straight games. Could become the 5th quarterback ever with 5,000 yards and 45 touchdowns.
Just so unbelievably prolific. And they've needed every one because they're terrible. Their defense is historically bad. And when he's right, my God. The thing that he's added this year, I kind of didn't know he had, is that Joe Burrow escaping? Not just moving around to throw, but now, you know, with dagger first down runs, Mahomes style or Lamar Jackson style, dare I say. He has added various parts to the toolkit to a guy that was already MVP caliber. If they had 10, 11 wins, he should be the MVP frontrunner. But he's not, or they don't, so he's not. But what an unbelievable year he's had.
Yeah, he climbs the pocket better than anybody. Troy Aikman actually said on Monday Night Football telecast this week, he would vote for Joe Burrow as MVP if he had a vote, even with the record.
It's not crazy to me, honestly. I mean, you look at the numbers are astounding. So to me, if I'm Kansas City, they'll never admit it publicly, to your point, but if you have ever played for the Kansas City Chiefs, you're sitting in this game. Go Broncos. Like, but I am not letting Joe Burrow and company into the postseason.
I mean, there's only so many guys you can sit, though. Like, you still need to play the football game.
Right. But, like, if you're on the practice squad, you're playing. If you're on, whatever, however I can do
you
it.
You can't.
I'm going to make so many guys inactive. I mean, I'm doing everything. I'm punting on first down. Like, I would do nothing in this game. I'm letting Denver run all over me.
You
take a knee
cut
early.
Someone to elevate a practice squad.
Fine.
Guy.
Whatever. I'm joking. Yeah. But like whatever I have to do to make sure that Denver wins that football game, that's what I'm doing.
Ja'Marr Chase, by the way, the NFL's leading wide receiver, 117 catches, 1,612 yards, 16 touchdowns. You think he's going to get paid this offseason?
He should.
Damn. 5th wide receiver triple crown is in the offing here. Cooper Kupp, Jerry Rice, Sterling Sharp, and Steve Smith. I wasn't old enough to remember Sterling Sharp, but apparently he was a badass.
That was a bad dude. He was Anquan Boldin before Boldin. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't the fastest dude, but like the best hands you can imagine. So many catches in traffic with dudes trying to knock his head off. That guy was awesome.
Anything else? Week 18 in the NFL you'll have your eyes on?
Giants beating Philadelphia, because Philadelphia didn't care. I want the Giants to ruin their draft position. Just the Giants special.
Can you imagine?
Yes. They've already done a little bit of that, but I want them to end up picking like 8th or 9th.
They whooped the Colts, by the way. I mean, that was an offensive clinic.
Yes.
They went from 1st overall to 4th overall. If they win again, it is possible they could fall as low as like 7 or 8.
Uh-huh.
So the current draft standings, the Patriots have the number one pick, which they'd be able to get a king's ransom for because they've got Drake May, won't take a quarterback. Then you've got the Titans, who have climbed all the way to 2. They've done a great job losing lately.
They've been really good at it, yeah.
5 straight for them. Same with the Browns, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
3-13, Cleveland have lost 5 in a row. I wonder what they'll do next year at quarterback. That's the team that's come up with like Kirk Cousins, Aaron Rodgers, veteran kind of stuff. If you could do the Russell Wilson thing where one of those guys signs on the cheap. But Deshaun Watson's going to be back. But they've got to be in a place where they're ready to have him as a backup.
Yeah, didn't they do some kind of maneuvering with his contract, Watson?
Yeah, but it just guarantees that he's going to be back. But
right.
The money's all guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
They just push some of it.
Yeah, lessen the impact.
The future. But he's still there. I just think, so what? I mean, you've already made the mistake. You can't keep playing him.
Mm-hmm.
You can't ruin another season letting him be terrible.
Right.
You got to go get somebody else. The Giants have the 4th pick at 3-13. And then the Jags, Panthers, Jets, Raiders, and Bears are all 4-12. There's a lot of moving and shaking that could happen this weekend.
That's right.
Nobody's done a better job climbing the draft board than the Bears, dude. How about a streak of 10 losses in a row?
They were 4-2. They were 4-2.
The Hail Mary.
The Hail Mary.
Changed everything. A Grant and Danny on the fan. Quick look at week 18 in the NFL. We should finish the show where we started it. Congratulations again to the Pro Bowlers for the Washington Commanders. Jaden Daniels, well-earned. Terry McLaurin, back for the second time. 2 offensive Pro Bowlers for the first time since 2017 when Trent Williams and Brandon Scherff went. Of the first alternates, Bobby Wagner, Tyler Ott, Nick Ballor. I think it goes without saying the coolest thing would be if Wagner got back there this year. The other guys are on special teams, aren't particularly well-known within the fans.
Right, and good for them. I mean, not to diminish that. I mean, you saw what it meant, that video that they put out last year of Ron Rivera telling Jeremy Reeves he got it. You know, that special teams Pro Bowl nod, like, moved to tears and how happy Tress Way was for him. That matters to those guys in a relatively thankless thing. Like, Nick Ballor's is most known for negating Austin Eckler's kickoff return for a touchdown, which isn't fair.
I don't know that that's what he's best known for.
Well, I mean, among the fan base, like, they couldn't pick him out of a lineup. But that dude is first, second, third on every coverage unit. He's done the unsung thing. They brought him in to be a special teams guy, and he's done an outstanding job. So it's cool for those guys to get that moment of recognition. But yeah, Bobby Wagner, already with a gold jacket. That's coming. The instant he stops playing, the countdown is on for him to get his gold jacket. It'd be really cool if he, on a pit stop, was a Pro Bowler here as well.
I just love that dude.
Mm-hmm.
What a leader of men. I think what I like most, though, is in the past, they have alternates, and you're like, man, it'd be cool if they got in, but they just had an okay year. There's a lot of guys here that deserve to be Pro Bowlers based on their season. Frankie Louvu, Tyler Biadasz, you know, Bobby Wagner, Dante Fowler. Those guys deserve to be Pro Bowlers. They had Pro Bowl seasons. They should get in.
Without a doubt. And you know, every city's doing this, right? Where like this guy got snubbed, et cetera. It's hard to come up with a really good list, especially places where there's a bunch of depth at the positions. We talk about it for all pros and different things. You look at the receivers, where Terry McLaurin's got a great shot at being an all pro, especially if he has a nice week to end the season. Maybe like a second team all pro nod if you get 4, 5, 6, 7 receivers possibly. But you look at how crowded some of these spots are, and you're 100% right. Like Dante Fowler deserves to be a Pro Bowler. He is 10th in the NFL in sacks. Not the NFC, the NFL. And things like that are really cool. Where you bet on yourself, you get validated, and good on the organization for finding some of these guys too.
Yeah, 10 of the 13 of them brought in by Adam Peters and company this offseason. This front office, we heap a lot of praise on them. We've got the Peters man crush going to full effect in studio here on Grant and Danny. I'm still not sure that enough talk in town goes to that part of this. And I get it. It's kind of out of sight, out of mind. There's some anonymity to it. We see Dan Quinn at the podium every day. We see Jaden Daniels losing dudes and you know, juking them out of their jock on the field. But as amazing as Daniels and Quinn have been in their roles, Peter set this whole thing, this whole agenda up.
That's right.
Set it all in motion. And with a lot of one-year deals, built this roster with his staff. I don't want to say it's just him. One of the guys on that staff, by the way, Lance Newmark, is an interesting name to start to think about hearing, because I've seen in a couple of different places now where his name has come up as a possible GM candidate. This is what happens, by the way.
Yep.
Lest we forget.
The cologne smells good.
Yeah, 2012, you go on your heater, you have the amazing season, and all of a sudden your guys start to be linked to jobs. It wasn't that long after, you know, you have some success here that Sean McVay goes and gets a head coaching job. That really good staff in 12, it wasn't here after 13 when they all got fired, but they would eventually go on, and a bunch of them are now coaching in the league. You lose front office people when you're really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the double-edged sword side of this thing. I mean, that's part of it. That's right. What happens.
Yeah, but it's also what it's the good problem to have, because it means you won a bunch of games. It means you've got stars. It means you've got guys that are playing well, and you're in the postseason, and you're on national games, not embarrassing yourself, but doing incredible things. See Cincinnati games. See this Philadelphia game that the whole country saw. Like, those sorts of moments, you know, everybody gets to wear the cologne. So it also, the flip side of that is, the flip side of the flip side, is you become a desirable spot. It's not just guys that were nice to Ron Rivera 10 years ago that are coming for jobs. It's not just the other old recycled retread guy. It's the new hotness wants to come work there to get their reputation. So it's like, yeah, you're going to lose some people, but it's also easier to replace with some quality names.
All right, time for Commanders Survivor on this non-Tuesday. Normally we do this on Tuesday, but we were not here to do the segment. Let's see who's moving on to the finals.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. Ryan, who is going to join Jaden Daniels? Excuse me. I guess it's Terry McLaurin, and it's either Daniels, who I assume is going to win, or Frankie Luvu. But who is going to join Terry McLaurin in the finals?
This was not very close. Frankie Luvu, you have been booted off the island.
That's a shame.
Mm.
Yeah.
Love Frankie. Hell of a year.
Did a great job.
Frankie did the unbelievable. Just brought his energy, dragged the defense along for weeks on end, had a great season. But you're going head-to-head with Jaden Daniels.
Right.
I got a feeling Terry McLaurin might suffer a similar fate here soon.
Well, Frankie Louvu's great crime is that he's not named Jaden Daniels. That's the thing he did wrong.
Right.
So very little he could have done.
I will also say, how about the voting from our fans?
Yes.
The two Pro Bowlers named today.
Yes, right.
Are the last two guys standing on Commander Survivor going head-to-head, McLaurin versus Daniels. The tough thing for Terry is anything he does is off of Jaden's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard for you to win. But I guess if you go out and catch two or three touchdowns, make a couple of plays.
Little lifetime achievement,
field,
right? Happy for you.
He's
you
got
deserve
a shot.
This. Yeah.
He's won, I think, 3 out of the last 4 years or something.
What a year Luvu has had, though, by the way. I know you don't need me to tell you that, but
dog.
Just what do you like stats? How about you just slide and see crooked numbers in every column? What, you like tackles for loss? I got it. You like quarterback hits? You like sacks? You like fumbles? You like interceptions? You like passes defended? I did that.
I'm a Frankie Luvu mark. All right, we should tell everyone one more time that we will be out and about tomorrow. Friday Field Trip Series. We are going to be at the Craft House in Fairfax. Fairfax Corner. Come on out. We'll be there the entire show, 2 to 6:30.
Hanging out. Great food, beverages, and good banter with your pals.
We will see you there tomorrow. Show starts right at 2. For Darris and Ryan behind the scenes, Grant and Danny saying so long. Thanks for kicking off 2025 with us today on The Fan. Caps Hockey, about 30 minutes from right now, right here on your flagship home for Puck in D.C. We're back at 2.
Thank you for coming.